Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishna Buddha Smita Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatvadesha Tarane. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gorba Kavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu 10 chapter 69 verse 38. Vidama
Yoga
Mayas
Te
Durdarsha Api Maina
Yogeshwaratman
Nirbhata
Ambhavat
Pada Nishevaya
Vidama Yoga Mayaste
Durdarsha Api Maina
Yogeshwar Atman Nirbhata
Bhavat Pada Nishevaya
Vidama Yoga Mayaste
Durdarsha Api Mayina
Yogeshwar Atman Nirbhata
Bhavat Pada Nishevaya
Bhavat Pada Nishevaya
Vidama Yoga Mayaste
Vidama Yoga Mayaste
Vidasha Api Mahinam
Vidasha Api Mahinam
Yogeshwaratman Nirvata
Yogeshwaratman Nirvata
Bhavat Pada Nishevaya
Bhavat Pada Nishevaya
Vidama Yoga Mayaste
Vidama Yoga Mayaste
Durdarsha Api Mayinam
Durdarsha Api Mayinam
Yogeshwaratman Nirvata
Yogeshwaratman Nirvata
Bhavat Parani Sevaya
Bhavat Parani Sevaya
Vidama Yoga Mayaste
Vidama Yoga Mayaste
Vidama, we know
Yogamaya,
mystic potencies,
te,
your, durdarsha, impossible to see, api,
even,
mainam, for great mystics,
yogeshwara,
O Lord of all mystic power, atman,
O
Supreme Soul,
Supreme Soul.
Nirbhata,
perceived,
Bhavat,
your
pada,
to the feet,
Nishevaya,
by service.
Translation, Narada said, now we understand your mystic potencies, which are difficult to comprehend even for mystic, great mystics. O Supreme Soul, master of all mystic power, only by serving your feet have I been able to perceive your powers. Purport, according to the Acharyas, this verse indicates that even great mystics like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot fully comprehend the mystic power of the Supreme Lord. Text 39, O Lord, please give me your leave. I will wander about the worlds which are flooded with your fame, loudly singing about your pastimes which purify the universe. Purport, even Narada Muni was bewildered to see Lord Krishna's amazing pastimes as a human being. And therefore, with the words, Anujani hi mam deva, he requests permission to return to his normal service of traveling and preaching. Inspired by what he has seen, he wants to preach widely the glories of the Supreme Personality, Lord Krishna. The Supreme Personality of God has said, O Brahmana, I am the speaker of religion, its performer and sanctioner. I observe religious principles to teach them to the world, my child, so do not be disturbed. Purport, Jiva Goswami explains that Lord Krishna wanted to dispel Narada's distress, which to say it's felt because he saw Lord Krishna worshipping demigods and even Narada himself. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains Lord Krishna's feelings as follows. As I stated in Bhagavad Gita, yadet aksharati shrestas taptat evitaro jana, whatever a great person does, ordinary people follow. Thus, I bathe your feet today in order to help propagate the principles of religion. In the past, before I began my pastimes of directly teaching religious principles, you came and offered prayers to me after I had killed the Kesha demon. But I simply listened to your elaborate prayers and glorification, did nothing to honor you. Just remember this and consider. Do not think that you have committed an offense by allowing me to bathe your feet today and accept the water as holy remnants. Just as a son does not offend his father by touching him with his foot while sitting on the father's lap, so you should understand that in the same way, my son, you have not offended me. Translation artist said, now we understand your mystic potencies, which are difficult to comprehend even for great mystics. O Supreme Soul, Master of all mystic power, only by serving your feet have I been able to perceive your powers. O Lord, please give me your leave. I will wander about the worlds which are flooded with your fame, loudly singing about your pastimes which purify the universe. The Supreme Personality of God said, O Brahmana, I am the speaker of religion, its performer and sanctioner. I observe religious principles, teach them to the world, my child. So do not be disturbed. So, this actually is the end of the perception or the description of what Narada saw. And we see that he understands that what he has seen is actually very rare. And even the devatas, who are also devotees of the Lord, cannot see this. So it is something that very, very special that Narada Muni has been seeing in the palaces of Krishna. So some special mercy. Here Krishna is addressed as Yogeshwara, or the Lord of Yoga. And he is the master or the best of all yogis, people who have mystic powers. Now we know that yogis can do some things which are extraordinary. And there are descriptions in Bhagavatam of extraordinary things that can be done, and in other scriptures as well. So the yogis have great powers to do things. And we know there are Asta cities, and some of the cities, like you can make a yogi can make a planet. He can get anything he wants. He can extend his hand and take anything from anywhere. So they have remarkable powers. Of course, this is nothing remarkable because even the demons have some of these powers. And they have remarkable powers also. Persons like Putana can change her form into a beautiful woman, but actually she's a big Rakshasi. Similar other demons can change forms and do many things. these powers are actually all material powers. If the yogi shows powers, it is material power only, and nothing extraordinary, for Krishna at least. For us it is extraordinary because we are conditioned to see things in the material world in a certain way, and if something is different from that, then it's extraordinary for us. But actually, for Krishna, anything is possible. He can do what is impossible for anybody else. So the yogis may have great powers greater than us, and therefore they can contradict what normally occurs in material nature. But that is nothing for Krishna. So we should also not be surprised by mystic powers as such. It is only a material thing. And actually, even today, many people have so-called mystic powers, but they may not be evident. And even ordinary people may have powers. What to speak of yogis having powers? So that is, of course, last night I gave a discussion or description of that, how the different people show powers. There is one person in China that shows powers. He's a qigong master, does Chinese yoga. So his power is that he can move objects through things. He moved a bag of sugar through a brick wall. And everyone saw it. And it wasn't magic either, because this was all observed by 30 scientists in the communist government, so they're very skeptical. You know? They accept the fact that there are supernatural powers that people have, and he was one of them, and they had a whole slew of other people as well who had these strange powers. In another experiment, he moved a bug through a glass tube. It was sealed up in a glass test tube, a bug, a live bug. And with his mind, he moved the bug out of the tube without breaking the tube. So in other words, the live bug passed through the glass substance on the other side using his mind. We can't even do that using our hands because the tube will break. He got the insect through with his mind, and the insect was alive outside. So he passed one object through another, and a live object through another piece of matter. And it's not explainable by science. So that was his power. So it's a mystic power. You move objects with his mind also. So it is not something imaginary. When the Bhagavatam describes how yogis can make palaces in the sky or whatever, it's not imaginary. We can see that ordinary people, so-called ordinary people in this world now, that are not mystic yogis or anything, they have powers also. So other yogis may have much more power than that. Still, that is nothing because it's all material. It is only manipulation of material energy. And there's different techniques for doing that. And the mind is also material. So that is nothing. So Krishna is Yogeshwara. He is the master of all yoga. So whatever all the other yogis can do with material nature, definitely the Lord can do, because he's the one that controls material nature. He is the cause of creation of the material world. Simply by his glance, everything happens in the material world, by his willpower. So that's material, material manifestation. Everything, he's in control, so he can alter things as he wants. More important than that, of course, is that the Lord is also the master of spiritual powers, spiritual shaktis. For the devotee, that is more important, that he is in control of everything else in the spiritual world. So he's in control of the material shakti as well, and he's in charge of the spiritual shakti. So that is even more remarkable. So we see that remarkable shakti of spiritual shakti acts in such a way that even what a yogi could do, or what a yogi can do, when he sees what Krishna can do, he will be very astonished also. And of course, Narada Muni is also astonished by what Krishna can do. It's much, much greater than what any yogi can do. And Krishna uses his spiritual powers. So in Dwarka, for instance, this is not a material yoga city that Krishna shows by expanding himself. Yogis can expand themselves also into nine forms. They can expand their body in nine forms and do things. But Krishna expanded himself into 16,108 forms. And each form was doing something different. So his power is much more. But it's not a material power, because Krishna's body is not material anyway, it's spiritual. And the Dham, the Dwarka Dham, is also not material, it's spiritual. And what he showed also is not only that he expanded himself, he was doing different activities in these different places. He was also doing, in each palace, it was a different time. So you could master time also. He was in control of time. And this time also is not material, it's spiritual time. So as he wants, according to his pastime, he can make spring, summer, autumn, winter, whatever, day, night, happen. That is the power of the Supreme Lord. So, and this is all spiritual. So the purpose, of course, is different in the material world. Yogis show powers for their own purposes, material purposes. It's material desire to control. In the spiritual world, in Dwarka and Vrindavan and Mathura, Krishna shows his spiritual powers of yoga, yoga maya, to increase prema. Not because he wants to simply show off power, but actually it has a function to increase the prema of his particular devotees. So this is why Krishna operates like this. So the yoga maya is very, very wonderful. So Narada Muni understood that to some degree, so that's why he says, Vidama yoga maya stay. I understand your yoga maya now, to some degree. You can't know completely, because Krishna can show even more remarkable things if he wants to. But at least to some degree he's understood that Krishna's very, very amazing power. And this power is not seen by Brahma and Shiva and others. So what this means is, he gives the reason and he says, I have served your lotus feet. Therefore you have been merciful to me, and by that mercy therefore you have revealed yourself. In other words, it is only by, if Krishna wants, that he will reveal something to his devotees and show his powers, particular powers. So for some, he will not show. If the Lord doesn't want to, he will not show. Because Narada Muni requested, and he was pleased with him, because he's a great devotee, then he showed. So this shows that devotees like Shiva and Brahma are not as great as Narada, because they don't get to see this. If they request, they may not. Krishna won't show that to them. But Narada Muni was the object of mercy of Krishna, and he was shown this amazing pastime. So in proportion to a person's devotion, the Lord responds. He does not respond to everybody equally. Though Krishna has said, I'm equal to everyone. And when it comes to devotion, no. According to your devotion, I respond to you. This is Krishna's rule. So little devotion, little response. More devotion, more response. 100% devotion. So, and this way, Krishna will respond differently to different types of devotees. So Narada Muni was a great devotee, therefore Krishna responded in this way. For a lesser devotee, Krishna will not give the same response. He may show something, but he won't show the same thing. So this is the nature of Krishna. It's all up to him. If he wants to show, he will show. And he will show to the degree that the particular devotee deserves. Of course, Narada Muni has got a particular position, because he is in Dasya Rasa also. And he's also a very intimate associate of Krishna and teaches bhakti everywhere. So it is very suitable that he should understand the powers of the Lord, because in Dasya Rasa one appreciates those powers. But Krishna did not reveal these incidents or this power to the queens, for instance. They didn't know that Krishna was in all the different palaces at once, because their rasa is different. Their perception of the Lord is different. It would disturb their rasa to understand that Krishna was everywhere. So therefore it's hidden from them. So according to the devotee, Krishna will do different things. So of course that also was amazing to Narada Muni, because he saw that Krishna responded to each queen in a different way, and there was different activities with each queen. One, they were joking together, and one, Krishna was doing other activities like that. So Krishna was personal with every single queen there in a different way, because each queen had their own, her own personality. So this is the also possible only for the Supreme Lord. No one else can satisfy everyone, but Krishna can satisfy everybody. So that is why Krishna is most worshipable. because everyone who approaches him sincerely and serves him, Krishna will respond perfectly to that person and satisfy that person fully. And so everyone in the spiritual world is satisfied in their relationship with Krishna. But there's various types of relationships. Of course, there's also variety in Vaikuntha, but basically it's all Dasya Rasa and Aishwarya mode. But with Krishna, it's all variegated. We have mothers and fathers and friends and servants and lovers and everything, all mixed. And still, Krishna's able to respond to everybody. He can satisfy everybody. And he can even do it all at once. So an example of that is when Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill. All the Brajavasis were there, the elders were there, and Yasoda and Nanda were there, and the cowherd boys were there, and the gopis were there, everyone was there, and they're all looking at Krishna. And everybody was satisfied with Krishna. They could see him according to their own expectation and be satisfied. The gopis saw him, and they were satisfied. Yasoda and Nanda saw him, and they were satisfied. The friends saw him, and they were satisfied. And Krishna responded to each of the groups in different ways, by glancing at the gopis, looking at his father and mother, also by joking with his friends, and everyone was completely satisfied, and it was all simultaneous. So Krishna, therefore, is very extraordinary. He can satisfy everybody. His nature is such that even the demons get special advantage when Krishna is present, and not when any other form is present. So it's explained by Rupa Goswami that Narasimhadev is considered Purna Avatar, because he shows more powers than Matsya and Kurama and Hayagriva and others. And Rama is even more perfect. But Krishna is most perfect. So he explains that by saying that and the reason is because Krishna is most attractive. His form is more attractive than any other form, and therefore is put in this highest position. So to illustrate that, he gives the example of when Narasimha killed Hiranyakasipu. So Hiranyakasipu saw Narasimhadev, and then he fought with him. And whether he's Vishnu or not doesn't really matter. He thought, I will fight this person. And then he was killed. And what happened to him as a result of that? He got reborn as Ravana. Normally when Vishnu kills a demon, that is what happens. They don't get liberation. They don't go to the spiritual world, but they get some material benefits. So Hiranyakasipu became Ravana, and he could enjoy materially in this world. He didn't go to hell. He was killed by the Lord. When Rama killed Ravana, again Ravana thought, oh, this Rama, oh, must be a pious human being. And he fought with him. And he was killed. And again, he didn't go to the spiritual world, didn't get mukti. He was born in Shishupala. And when Shishupala was present, then, because of the attractive nature of Krishna, even though he hated him, he could not free his mind from thinking of Krishna at any time. And he was meditating on him day and night, and chanting his name, all that rascal Krishna, lotus eyed Krishna, such a rascal, such a cheater. And he was always thinking of him and calling him names. Why? Because Krishna was so beautiful, a wonderful nature, a wonderful beauty, and he could not help but think of him all the time, in spite of the fact that he hated him. So in this way, his mind became completely absorbed in Krishna, and that had an effect, in spite of the fact that he also hated Krishna. So it's not bhakti, actually. But the power of Krishna's beautiful form was such that by concentrating like that, eventually all of his karmas and sins got eradicated. And so finally, Krishna killed him with his chakra and cut off his head. So by that time, he had been purified. And when the chakra hit his head and cut it off, then he got prema. And he went to the spiritual world. And so why he went to the spiritual world? Because of that attraction with Krishna. Krishna, he meditated on him so much he became purified. When he got killed by it, then he got prema. So he was qualified for prema at that point. So in other words, Krishna was very special in comparison to Rama or Nrsimhadev. They didn't constantly, Nrsimhadev, Hiranyakasipu did not constantly meditate on Nrsimhadev's form, and Ravana did not constantly meditate on Rama's form. But Shishupala was constantly absorbed in that form because it was so attractive. And similarly, his name was most powerful, so he kept on uttering his name, and by all this he became purified eventually. So that is Krishna's extraordinary nature, completely attractive in all ways, very, very special. So and here it is explained that Narada Muni appreciated this great power. At the same time, he was rather disturbed, and he was disturbed because he got worshipped. He saw the Lord's power, but before that, the Lord had sat him down and washed his feet and worshipped him and done all this. So Narada Muni was a little uncomfortable with that. Why is he worshipping me? So therefore, Krishna explains that actually I'm acting according to Dharma. And you are a Brahmana, you're a great sage, you're a devotee, and I'm a king, and therefore I have to observe these things properly for people to teach them. Because Krishna says, I come to restore Dharma in this world. So this is the aspect of Dharma. And he acts like a king. So he says, do not be disturbed. So in the purport there, this is what Jiva Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti explained. Lord Krishna is acting like this for certain purposes. And particularly the example is given of the son and the father. So the father holds the son on his lap, but then the son's foot touches the father. So normally when a foot touches somebody, it's considered disrespect. But in this case, when the father is holding the son and the son's foot touches the father, it's not considered bad. So if Narada Muni's foot touches Krishna because Krishna washes his foot, then that also is not considered to be bad. So Narada Muni is like the son and Krishna is like the father. And if the foot touches the father like that, Krishna doesn't care. Why? Because he's very affectionate towards his devotees. So doing it for Dharma is one thing, and of course the other is he does have affection for his devotees, just as the father has affection for the son. So if the son touches the father with his foot, and the father doesn't mind. So if Narada Muni touches his foot to Krishna, then again, Krishna doesn't mind at all. Rather, he's very pleased with Narada Muni. Why? Because Krishna likes his devotees. He's very pleased with his devotees and affectionate towards his devotees. So this actually is the greatest quality of God. The greatest quality of God did not he show material powers, create the material worlds, or even show his spiritual powers as he does here to Narada Muni. That's not the greatest aspect of Krishna. The greatest aspect of Krishna is that he shows such great affection for his devotees. He's Bhakta Vatsala. And because of that affection for his devotee, he serves the devotee. And that it looks like a fault, but that's a great quality. Being Bhakta Vatsala is the greatest quality of God. It's not a fault. And when he serves the devotee, that is not a fault. That is a great quality also. But for outsiders, it doesn't look like that. They can criticize. God is degrading himself. By getting tied up by Mother Yasoda, degrading himself by smearing food all over his body when he's with the cowherd boys. How can God do that? Not good position for God. So certain people will respect and love this, and other people will not appreciate it at all. So that is why, though Krishna comes in this material world and displays his pastimes, some people will not understand. And they can also read the Bhagavatam, and still they will not understand. And they will not appreciate Krishna. For those people, Sukadeva Goswami deliberately hides everything. So he makes the Bhagavad in such a way that if you want to think of Krishna as a normal human being and disrespect him, then Sukadeva Goswami will also allow that. He will make it in such a way that if you want to think one way, you can also think that way. So though Bhagavatam is actually a revelation of Lord Krishna's Swayam Bhagavan, still, for certain people who are unqualified, he hides everything. So in that way there is rahasya, or secret thing, something is secret. So Krishna is also secret, and for some people, he will remain a secret, even if they read Srimad Bhagavatam. So some things are revealed and some things are hidden from the demonic people and the materialists. But the devotees can understand these things. So just like yesterday I explained how actually it's not stated directly, but actually Krishna did return to Vrindavan. So that's hidden. Why is it hidden? Because the sages do not like to reveal everything directly to everybody. And those who can understand, can understand. And those who cannot, let them be an illusion. Let the materialists stay materialists. Hey, they cannot understand anyway, so they will not appreciate in any case. So he hides it. And those who are devotees will understand, there's something very strange here. Why is it like this? And then hints are given, so that you can understand what the real thing is. So it's also said in Bhagavatam that this is called parokshavad, speaking indirectly. Everything is not explained black and white. And something is left mysterious and hidden from everybody. But the devotee can penetrate and see the real truth. And similarly, Lord Chaitanya is hidden. Hidden avatar, covered avatar. So he's not explained directly. Even Bhagavatam, he's channa, covered up. But if you read carefully, then you understand, he's there also. So the hints are given in different places. Yes, there's a yellow avatar. Pita avatar is also there in Kali Yuga. Even though 11th canto says he's generally Krishna, he's black. But at the same time, Bhargamuni says, he's yellow. So then we get some indication there. So in this way, things are not directly revealed in all cases. So that is how we have to read scripture. We have to appreciate with devotion, then we accept the hidden meanings as explained by the acharyas. And then we get the truth. Lord Chaitanya is acting as Lord Krishna acts as Manusha, as human being, more or less as a king, and as a cowherd boy, and Lord Chaitanya acts as a brahmana and a sannyasi, basically, but more as a human being, even more covered up than Krishna. So therefore, his powers are even more hidden than Krishna. Even though we call Krishna Manusha Rupa, he does show powers and whatever. He fights and kills demons like that. So Lord Chaitanya is even more human. He takes a human form and acts more like a human than all. So therefore, everything will be more or less covered up again. Nevertheless, we will find, and therefore, this idea of master and servant, and then how the servant, the Lord serves the servant, will be somewhat covered up because of that, because everybody's acting more on a human level and not as master and servant or whatever. So it doesn't that idea of being God and is not there, and therefore master and servant is not there. Nevertheless, we cannot say that Lord Chaitanya does not show mercy to the devotees. Actually, Lord Chaitanya's outstanding quality is audarja, which means most merciful to everybody. So, of course, all forms of God have kripa. And Krishna has extraordinary kripa because he delivers even the demons, but that's because he's so attractive. Lord Chaitanya is audarja, and he even delivers the aparadis, the worst demons, those who offend, and wants to give them mercy, even if they're unqualified. So he extends himself to all people in this material world. So we can say maybe that's his aspect of Bhakta Vatsalya. There it turns into Audarja, where he wants to save everybody, all the undeserving, lowest human beings or whatever. Well, he carried his body and broke all the rules as a Brahmana and whatever, and buried him and whatever with his own hands, and then begged for food and served him like that. No? And he took the food in the house of the fallen, what, the Kayasta in Mathura? Was it Kayasta? No, he was actually rejected, yeah, from Hinduism because he had been sprinkled with water by a Muslim. Subhuti Rai was, Subhuti Rai, yeah? Yeah, so he was outcast. Yet Krishna took his food or whatever like that, and he took food in lower caste houses and things like that, even though he's supposed to act as a Brahmana. Yes.
Well, you also have, even as a sannyasi, he still obeyed the order of his mother and was somewhat compliant.
Yeah.
It could be said that he served mankind by propagating the Hari holy name.
Yeah, that's how he showed his mercy, by propagating the holy name, giving it to everybody.
Maharaj, you mentioned Narayana getting the mercy that even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva couldn't get because of his great devotional service. But how can you explain that in considering that Lord Shiva is considered the topmost Vaishnava?
Well, if we look at, for instance, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there we have a whole classification of devotees. So there we don't see Shiva up there. we go up and we get the Pandavas and people like that, and then finally we get the Vrajavasis and the Gopis in the top, and everyone's lower than that. So when we say that Shiva's the greatest devotee, we can't take that literally, that he's on above everybody else, and even the brother Vrajavasis, definitely not. That's just a general statement. Yeah, and I suppose another thing is actually to put him in a place where he's not considered the same as Narayan and Vishnu and Krishna. He's a devotee. He's a devotee of them.
He said that the Narada Muni serves in Dasya Rasa. Does Shiva, Lord Shiva, have a particular rasa?
Seems to be Dasya also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How is bhakti revealed by Srila Prabhupada? Well, actually it's just a matter of the orders that Prabhupada has given and following those orders. So he has said you chant 16 rounds, you attend Mangal Arati, you listen to Bhagavatam class, associate with devotees, take prasadam, preach about Krishna. So that's how it's directly manifests through these different angas of bhakti, and these are the ones that he's particularly said you practice these things. Okay. Hare Krishna.